love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it to no show.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your hosts Mace and Cam, and we are joined with our analyst Maurice Claret.
Yo, killer, what's up?
What's good, bro? How you?
I'm chilling, man. You can laugh today?
Nah, I can't laugh, man. Probably next week. Laughing and coughing is all. How you? You all right?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing better than I look, you know? They say you look good, you feel good. Pause, but I'm doing better than I look. How you doing, Mo?
Championship week, baby. Come on.
Oh, you over there playing, you over there in that UConn Husky blue, huh?
Yeah. Well, I ain't a Husky blue, but
let me see your shirt.
This is
that's it, GG.
See the game. I got us all in there. You see, Stat, I got a respectable picture. I got you right there, Cam.
Let's go.
Get the yayo. We know you can't laugh with us.
Chi-chi get the yayo is dope.
Hey, I was saying, Stat, did you know what he was talking about when he said that the other day?
No, she didn't. Of course she did.
Yeah. That's a classic line from a
show. She only knows SpongeBob. She only knows SpongeBob. Why are you asking her anything outside of Johnny Bravo?
She would never know what Chi-Chi gets the yayo is.
Stat, you know what the A-team is?
I don't even want to question.
Stat, I'm amazed now. As you talk about her. I don't have time to answer that right now. This is always the way out.
But it's championship week, baby.
How you feeling about your teams, Maurice?
I'm feeling great. I'll tell you like this. I don't think I've ever been this excited for a sporting event in a very long time, man. These dudes have a chance to go win back-to-back. They got to go through Alabama first. And I've literally been excited all week, all weekend. I'll be at the games. I'll be out there all weekend. And then the girls got to handle their business. They got to go ahead and knock off Caitlin Clark and then whoever wins out of the other teams, they'll do it. So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for the festivities. And I appreciate the whole staff who they actually called me and said, hey, man, we want you down here. So shout out to them.
I knew you was getting paid to go out there. You sound too excited, Mo.
No, nah, put like this. One day, not paying me to go out there.
Yeah,
but I tell like this. I'm gonna tell you what really went through my mind. I said, "Dog," I said to, and I said this kind of last week, but you know, you just know when you've done enough stuff in your life. You, Cam, I'm pretty sure, Stat, Nick, whoever, or you doing something special, right? And it's not many moments that you have like. You know, once you get money and once you start to buy stuff, you really start to chase experiences or other stuff has value. And to see these dudes go through all this and to be, you know, after the game, I'm texting these players and they responding and, you know, you talking to the coaches staff and they see all of our comments and all of our stuff. Like Danny Hurley likes our comments and likes our posts and stuff that we post. So like they're in tune. Kimani Lung, Luke Murray, y'all don't know, but this is the coaches staff and guys who pay attention to our stuff. And to know that you are connected to a thing that's special, like that's special to me, right? And it's the same thing, like even when I get on the show every week, I know that this is special. And when your life, like in this special moment, like you get excited and you like, man, this is just like some special shit. I'm pretty sure y'all had those moments to be like, damn, is this really my life or life feel cool? And this ain't nothing you can buy. So to have the head booster, like, yo, we need you out here with the team. And then these dudes hit me up was like, yo, we need you to stay at the hotel. We need you to be, they want you around. To me, that feels special. So for that to happen, like you get excited, you get pumped up. You're like, man, let's go. And so I'm going to go out there and enjoy all the festivities in Phoenix. And, you know, I'm enjoying it.
So you got flued out. In other words, you talking about he gonna get pumped up and he excited. That was crazy, Maurice. So the boosters flew you out. So the boosters flew you out. That's basically what all I heard. In other words, like Cam said, what Maurice just said is the boosters flew him out.
Yeah, I heard that too.
You can pause all that. Listen to me. Listen to me.
He's pumped up and he's excited and money can't buy this and all that.
Well, y'all know what I'm talking about.
That was great.
I zoned out for a second.
Yeah, he went Limp Bizkit for a moment.
I'm excited. Listen to me. I'm going to see my squad. I'm excited about it. And I'm just,
I thought you were going to see the girls' games. Now, nigga, yeah. Flying you out. Are you missing the girls' games?
No. If we really want to be honest, I was on the phone with Mace and I was like, I didn't know what you was doing. You was on injury reserve. So I said, like, yo, I don't really know how, like, logistically, like, how I should move.
Nigga, so Mo, when I say it's going to rain, get an umbrella, nigga. What you mean you ain't not legit it was, nigga? What you mean when I say it, nigga? It's done, nigga. Yeah. I'll just say it to say it, nigga. What do you mean I knew how legit it was? Don't worry you where I'm at. I could be on Mars. I could be on Mars, nigga. If I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen, man. I don't know what you're talking about. I had to call you every day to make sure. Yo, you know, next Friday, I'll call you every day. If I tell you 2 weeks ahead of time, it's going to happen, nigga.
It's going to happen.
Now, yo, murder, nigga flew a nigga out. Now you going to blame me.
Nigga flew it out. Flew it out. Now he want to hit red neck.
That's Seth, crazy.
Hey, Seth, what's the next topic, Seth?
I'll see you in Arizona, Maurice. It's okay.
So, yo, hold on, Mo. Hold on. So you're not going to support the women. You're just going to fuck with the niggas.
Yeah. He want to be in Arizona with a bunch of niggas. He don't want to.
Look,
I want to hear the schedule for real, because I gave up floor seats for you, nigga. I want to hear the schedule this weekend. What's your schedule, yo?
So, it's a flight. I'm flying out there. So I assume I'm going to be with the team during shoot around the
world. When are you flying out there, Mo?
Right after the show.
Tonight?
Yeah, oh, he flew out. Killer, you
nigga flew a nigga out early, and all
that. He amped up. They locked the champ up.
Say no more. Fuck the woman.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, look, I logistically went through this. I checked every flight out of Cleveland. They play 9:30 at night. I checked every flight out of Cleveland to get out to Arizona. So I hate doing connecting flights. I only do direct flights. So I'm like, man, the only direct flight that they have was out of Columbus. So, you know, you're gonna make me Southwest.
Get out of being flued out, paused, and chewed up. Flued out.
What time is the game on Saturday?
Not nine. So it says 9. I think it might be 6 o'clock out on the West Coast. I'm assuming. Okay. Is that right, Stat?
Yeah, I'm almost positive it's around 6. Yeah. But yeah, sorry, Maurice, you got a little picked on, but I was getting picked on all week, so it's your turn.
Why
are we picking on people because we repeating what they said?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's just
so, that's so crazy. Stat, we gotta remix it and say, hey, man, we just want the brand in more places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'll be over there.
I agree with that, but I think that this brand supports women a lot.
Yeah.
That's why we made a conscious decision to go to the women's before the men's. But, you know, to each his own.
What'd you say, Stat? The next topic was?
Go, Stat. No commercial breaks.
Hey, Stat, come on, man.
No commercial breaks. Okay. So let's get into it. So LaVar Ball said he has no regrets as LaMelo and Lonzo deal with injuries, but he blames their injury problems on their raggedy shoes from Puma. He said, because you condition your body from jumping, you've got to condition your legs. So that's why I always have my boys in them hills and running hard in them hills. That will make you run like a deer when you get on that court so you won't be getting hurt. A lot of things have to do with them raggedy shoes that Mel will be wearing. Them shoes are not made the right way for him. That's why he keeps tweaking his angle every single time. So that's on him blaming the shoes and his comments as a whole.
Yeah, everybody know I'm a LaVar Ball fan. And I do, like, as much as he jokes, I do believe that there's some truth to what he's talking about, right? And I just think that from him training those guys as kids, you know, they're grown men now, and him having an understanding of, you know, all of the nuances of performance, all of the nuances of what pushes the kid and takes the kid to the next level. I personally believe that LaVar Ball is right in regards to the training. I think the shot at the shoes has more to do with him wanting the kids to be in a big baller brand, and then they end up switching to Nike. I think the other kid was in, and then I think LaMelo switched to Puma. So I think that has, like, loaded shots in it. I don't know nothing about technology with shoes and all this other stuff, but I do believe him, and I'm really mad that the wave that LaVar Ball started got stopped. I'm really mad at that. I wish that LaVar Ball could have took, like, what he was doing with trying to have his own brand and have his own shoe, and however far he took it, I wish it wouldn't have got demolished, because I wish it would have gave somebody else an opportunity to say, hey, LaVar Ball took the brand with his shoes this far, or the brand with their clothing this far. You know, these are some things that we learned from him, but, like, it's almost like an afterthought. They don't even talk about him, but he was kind of like on that the big three wave and the wave of taking these kids a year after high school and playing them and all that other stuff. So that's my take. I think it's some truth to it.
So let me ask you, Mo, you think both of them is true, that the shoes, that he's taking a shot at the shoes, and I'm kind of lost. Are both of them
the training? Yeah, so when he said it, he said that his kids are getting hurt. So it's two things. He said the kids getting hurt because they're not training with him anymore, right? Yeah. And so he raised them, trained them, weightlifting, all that stuff. And what he's kind of saying is, like, you know, once they got off on their own and they got the Puma deal and the Nike deal, and people were like, I think, like, just politically severed a tie between him and them, that's when they start getting hurt. And I think, like, those are a set of comments. And I think it's another set of comments of saying, like, that raggedy shoe.
Do you think those comments are true, though?
100%. 100%. I just think, like, yeah, I just think, like, it goes back to when we were talking about Derrick James and Earl Spence. Like, a person who raises you, they're just going to know you in a different way. And LaVar Ball, even though he didn't have, like, the commercial success that other people had, he still got to the NBA. He still put him in a position to be number one draft picks, right? So there's things that you know that got them there. And so when you get passed off to somebody else may have a routine that works for somebody else, but the nuances of knowing your kids and how to push them and what they need, like, I'm 1,000% about the heels too. There's so much mobility work, hip work, and posterior chain work that you get and drive that you get when you talk about running like a deer, you get that from running heels. So I do agree with him in that regard. And if you don't put the, like, pause, if you don't put the pressure on your body and the pressure on your joints, you're susceptible to injury. He's saying that. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with him. I don't think anything he said was wrong. Like, even when he took a shot at the shoes, I don't even think that was wrong. Because if you think about it, ever since LaMelo Ball, and I'm a big LaMelo Ball fan, ever since he started wearing those shoes, he started having those ankle injuries. Like, so his first one time he was out looked like half of the season. And now for him to get hurt again in the same type of shoe, he wasn't getting hurt in the threes, whatever they were called, the big threes or whatever they would call that LaVar pattern. And he was balling. I mean, one thing you can't negate is the results. So if I wear Chico DeBarge sneakers, and I start scoring 80 points, and then I switch to Air whatever, and I start getting hurt or tweaking my ankle and my Achilles and then my knee. That it got to be some truth to that, because even the same thing happened with Lonzo when he switched those sneakers, he got hurt two times in the same thing. So as crazy as it sounds, and I don't know about Nike, but I definitely know them. I'm not sure of Puma. I don't have no history with Pumas playing basketball. Not me. And I know Killer don't. I don't ever remember Killer playing ball in Pumas. I'm not going to start the game. They can't give me free Pumas. I won't win them. I don't care who wins them. I'm not wearing them. I feel like I'm belittling myself if I wear them. My game ain't going to be this. and no shot at Puma. I'm just not a Puma kid. You know what I'm saying? I grew up on Nikes. As far as I'm going,
well, listen, man. I wear a pair of Pumas. My man Shamgard. I got to support home team, so wear Shamgard. Right. I wear Shamgard Pumas. Outside of
I wear Sham Pumas. Sham the only you can get me to wear Pumas. Other than that, I ain't wearing no Pumas.
Puma, I gotta wear my Sham Guards, man. Before I get into the actual topic, yo Mo, it's a flight Saturday morning at 7:40 a.m. to get you in the Phoenix at 9:03 a.m. before anything even start, the layup line or anything. Right here on Priceline, American Airlines.
American Airlines.
Yeah, would you want to go at 7:40 a.m. Saturday morning? Layup line don't start till about 5, so you don't got to talk about they flew me in for the extracurricular. They got me there early so I can talk to the team for motivation. It is a flight that'll get you there at this time. I will book it. No. Just let me know.
Go ahead. Look. I will call and cancel my ticket. Look.
I'm gonna book this flight. I'm gonna get all the information. Everything is on Wikipedia anyway. I'm gonna get your full name and birthday, and I'm gonna book this flight, man. You want to just
respond? Next topic stat.
Now you know what happened. Go up there, Connecticut, and the men don't win, and the women do, and you try to go say what's up. Nah, I'm good. I'm Paige. I'm good on you, Mo.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Yo, back, but that's serious. But back to the topic. Look, man, this is a great, you know what it is, man? A lot of times, fathers are, you know, I didn't really grow up with a father. A lot of friends of mine didn't grow up with actual fathers. So a lot of times when you see these fathers, you know, now we're all good fathers because we didn't have fathers. But, you know, 70s, 80s, maybe even 90s, early 2000s, whatever. You got a father that knows what it takes because he probably didn't have a father. And so he's trying to instill you to be the best that you could be, and no matter what it is, an attorney, a sports commentator, a basketball player, a singer, or whoever. And a lot of times, not going to say a lot because everybody don't make it, but we see these success stories and sometimes they don't fuck with the father after they get the most successful that the father made them be, because they hold, oh, he was rough on me, or he was acting crazy with me, he talked to me crazy. But nigga, you Michael Jackson, nigga. The fuck is you talking about, nigga?
Yeah, that's how you got this spin perfected.
You Michael Jackson, nigga. You Serena Williams, nigga. How you talking crazy, nigga? Not Serena, because she still fucks with her father. Even though they cool now, I used to watch it, nigga. Yo, Floyd Mayweather talk crazy to Floyd Mayweather singing. You are the best in the world, nigga. At whatever you're doing, and your father had a lot to do with that, whether the relationship is there or not there. So when it comes to like LaVar Ball and his sons, you know, I remember when Lonzo got to the, when Lonzo was on the Lakers and LeBron was on the Lakers. And I guess LeVar, you know, we got to realize we seen the very, very toned down LaVar Ball over the last couple years. You know, leading up to his kids into the NBA, he was the ultimate hype man, marketer, promotion, everything. So we was like, damn, we hear about this nigga more than we hear about his kids. And it got to two of his kids being top three draft picks. One was two and one was three. You can't beat that, bro. Yeah. Two out of three and they top two and three. So yeah, he was talking shit to get you there. He gonna start bragging once you get there. And I remember Alonzo being on the Lakers and him having a conversation with LeBron James. LeBron James put right in his ear, "No, you ain't gotta let your father do everything. You your own man now." And niggas start listening to that. You a grown ass man. This your money. This ain't really your money. It ain't his money. You I helped you, but you earned it. You gotta start making your own deal. And you know, I could plug you in with some niggas, but I don't know if the Ball sneakers is gonna kill it. I haven't. Stephon Marbury tried to sell his shit for $24. I tried to sell him. Shit ain't work. Gotta fuck with what count. Word, Bron, you right. I never looked at it that way. My pops don't know everything.
Yeah, LeBron.
Start listening. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So now it's like, bro, listen. Now what LaVar Ball is doing is falling back. Like, niggas didn't want to listen to me.
Yeah, niggas
was doing too much.
Yeah, niggas want to go Bron.
Yeah, now niggas is hurt. Lonzo Ball was supposed to come back in the middle of the season. I don't even know the last time I seen Lonzo Ball. He got the Chicago Bulls organization fucked up right now because he's the key piece when he's healthy. Yeah. And they can't get no consistency with him there. Rumors about Zach LaVine trades, DeMar DeRozan having good nights off and on. You are a key piece when you're primary point guard on any basketball team. And like you said, Murder LaMelo Ball's he's not just good, he's marketable. I'm still mad at the day right now to this day that Golden State Warriors did not get LaMelo Ball and pick Wiseman. Wiseman end up being a bust. They trade that nigga to Detroit. And so the one year that y'all are not good and you get the number two pick in the draft, y'all skip out on LaMelo Ball. And this is what we was talking about, if Golden State going to stay together or not. Y'all skip out on niggas' feelings. Yo, what Steph or Clay going to think of? Dre, I don't know if he going to fit with them. Niggas marketable, bro. Let everybody else figure it out. Now, they want to chip after that with Jordan Poole, but you don't just miss out on LaMelo Ball. But then at the same time, they may have been reading the injury report. Is this nigga going to be healthy? Is he going to be stable? I don't know. He may be fragile. You know what I'm saying? But to your point, Mace, I've never seen these injuries. And I'm not sitting here casting any conspiracy theories or throwing grease on the fire or anything like that. But these injuries did not happen until they switched sneakers. I will say that.
Yeah, as long as he wasn't hurt in high school wearing Adidas, and he wasn't hurt when he was playing overseas when he got them sneakers, and his dad bought him the Ferrari or the Lamborghini. He wasn't hurt then, and everything was going well. I don't think they should have went against building a family legacy and being able to do things that nobody else has been able to do. I mean, the boy came out of high school selling sneakers for $500. How do I know? Because I bought a pair. I actually bought a pair because it was LaVar Ball and it was LaMelo Ball. I was watching him, you know, play since he was like really short in high school, and then he caught the growth spurt. So they was doing too many big things. And I believe people are like, yo, we got to break this up. We got to break this up.
And listen, add on to what you're saying, Mace, it's like this too. Like, sometimes it may seem overbearing. I'm talking about from a kid's point on their parents, or it's too much, or I'm grown now, whatever. But if you want it that bad and you see what it takes to get it, pause, then you're going to continue that. To this day, I don't know if anybody on the show today, I've seen the movie King Richard about Serena's parents.
Or Serena's father, yep.
Yeah, Serena's father. Listen, man, them kids knew what it took and they knew he had what it take to motivate them. Even to this day, they fuck with him. He might be aggravating, rude, whatever. They'd be like, this is what it take to get us there. And that's why they had the longevity you had. Tennis career go away in about 9, 10 years. A lot of people don't realize tennis, swimming, boxing, where you can't tag a nigga in, where there's no substitution, where you can't just say, hold up. No, that is the hardest sports because there's nobody else to lean on. You hurt your leg in tennis, there's no substitution.
Yeah.
It's this that is a fucking hard ass sport. More of the story is the lifespan of the average tennis player may be like nine to 12 years, and that's when you okay, that's when you great. Like Serena Williams played 20 something years of tennis, bro. And probably arguably the best tennis player ever. Her sister's probably top five, Venus. So you gotta realize sometimes they're like, nah, dad be bugging, but he know what it take for us to get here. And that's why they had the success and the longevity that they had so long, because it had been going on since they was 8 or 9 years old to the time they in their 40s.
Makes sense.
Okay.
So we all agree we need LaVar Ball back. Pause.
Yeah, I miss LaVar anyway, man.
Yeah, pause. I miss LaVar Ball. And LaVar, if you're listening to this, join our show, man. We would love to have you as a part of the show. Pause.
Yeah, please, man. We would love to have you up here. Pause.
That would be dope. Okay. So Dan Hurley recently talked about his success and UConn's success being because of his personal work with a sports psychologist that helped him find his best self. How do you guys feel about that connection with the coach going to the sports psychologist? Maurice first.
Well, I don't know. I thought it was a teachable moment for other coaches, you know, and I didn't really, and I know we've all played for coaches in our lives, right? Who've all been like, you know, kind of fucked up in their own way. And they, you know, they have personal shit going on and whatever personal thing. It's just not even coaching, just people who's leading something in general. And their fucked up ways end up affecting everybody else who they're dealing with, right? And so when I looked at the clip, it comes from Pat McAfee. He was doing an interview with Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee was talking about it. But he was, in a nutshell, he was basically saying that his father had had all the success as a legendary high school coach in New Jersey. And then his brother was having success at Duke. And he said at that point, he was like playing basketball in college, and he was like real depressed. And he said from that point, the same sports psychologist that he was working with then, he still works with now. And he accredits that person kind of helping him to find himself. And what it sounded like was like, it was like a, almost like when a person gets depressed, like they start off on a path or a journey, and then you end up somewhere else or, you know, doing other shit that you shouldn't be doing. And this person kind of brought him back to center. And so I love it just because, you know, I know the guy, I understand the connection he has with UConn. And when you hear those young dudes talking about, you know, they're connected to his intensity and just his seriousness when it goes on the court, you can kind of see how it translates over time. And so I just thought to myself that, like, as much as coaches push mental health and players getting themselves together, this is the coach who leads the organization where the players, like, resemble your personality or resemble your intensity. This was a teachable moment for coaches. That's what I basically took from it and hope that other coaches took from it.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to the family of the Hurleys, they were definitely instrumental in my childhood, because I used to watch Bob Hurley play a lot, and it was always a dream for a lot of players to be good enough to play at St. Anthony's, where his dad coached. And his dad had this system where he would wake the players up. They had practice at 5 in the morning. You know, a lot of great players came out of that program. And I could just only imagine it when you're dealing with a dad who wins the state champion, you know, is always going for state champions. And then you get a brother who hit lottery, make it to be a lottery pick and play for Duke with one of the greatest Duke teams ever. And now you're the little brother coming up. It's like the mountain is on your shoulder, because you got to be as good as everything that was put before you. And I could see that being a very heavy weight. So when he got to Seton Hall, and he was a little below average as a player, a little below average, I would say, at Seton Hall. And having that kind of career, I know is if he had a girlfriend, she's like, wow, like you're not doing as good as the Hurley legacy. And to see him win that championship at UConn was surreal. Definitely watching it because I could just imagine he's looking at his brother like, you ain't went on this level. I know what he's thinking. I was reading his thoughts. He dapped his dad. His dad gave him a hug because now you have won on a level that nobody in your family has ever won on, you know? Because your brother didn't win as a coach. He went as a player, but he didn't win as a coach. And so now you're the youngest one who didn't have all the success. It wasn't as great as everybody else, but now you're the one that wins on the highest level of coaching, you know, because his brother is at Arizona State.
Arizona State, yep. Yeah.
So that was really huge.
Pause,
yeah, that was crazy.
That was wild. Yo, what exactly is sports psychology before I answer this question? Yes. What is that?
So
they
work with athletes and then like coaches to help their overall performance through the mental side of things. So like stress management, visualization, different things like that. So
who gave them the license to be these people? Did they go through this or they just went to college and be like, know what? I'm going to be a sports psychologist because I think I can fuck with niggas' brains. Once they stop playing sports, I have a problem during sports or some sports related shit. Or they actually people who've been in the game who's coming back to say, I went through this.
Most people, they start off in counseling or some sort of social work and then sports becomes a place where they get opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's like a sports dentist.
Yeah. I just want to do that. I just want to do the athlete's teeth pause. Yeah. Like, yo, that's why I asked the question. What difference between is a sports psychologist and a psychologist? Nigga, like, yo, I'm gonna go to college. And major in sports psychology. That'll get them on my side.
Yeah.
Like, my nigga, it's a psychologist. Anyway, I just want to know the difference.
It's like the girl that switched up from nursing to sports medicine.
Yeah, that's a big difference, though.
You know, I'm gonna be with them niggas with the check. That's where
I'm going where the money at, man. Listen, Murda, I was on live the other night, and this girl was arguing, saying she an RN, and she live in New York, and I'm like, and she like, yeah, we getting money because all these girls out here just putting their cash app on Instagram. That's virtual panhandling. They just putting their cash app talking about yo donate. They said these bitches might as well be on the corner with a jar of change, killer.
She had to be from Harlem.
She's from Harlem. She's from Harlem. PT home girl. Yo, fam. So I was dying laughing. Yo, I was like, I said, virtual panhandling is genius. Quote for that type of shit. Say, yo, killer, they might as well be on the corner shaking the mug, just throwing their cash app and Zalup talking about if you want to make a donation. I said, well, what do you do? She said, I'm an RN. I'm out here saving lives and this, that, and the third. She was hilarious, man. I'd be on over here all day telling you. She's talking about I was saving lives. I said, what about during COVID? She said, nobody died on my watch. I said, all right. I just heard the mother though. More of the story is I said, you act like you're getting all this money. I Googled the state of New York. It said on the Google, RN in New York. I just put New York, but she said, did you put state or city? It said from 46,000 to like 96,000. So she ain't know. I looked at that. So how much you making? She said, yeah, we make about anywhere from 96 to 140. I said, I'm looking at this shit. This should say something totally different. It don't say the numbers you saying. You talking about, well, you must be talking about upstate killer. Because upstate, that ain't the city. The city, we getting that chicken. He said, let me tell you something right now. I wouldn't save a nigga life for $46,000 ever. I wish I would be pumping a nigga chest, trying to bring a nigga back for 46 a year. Yo, bitches,
I knew
bitches.
It. I said,
this is why I hate you, Harlem bitches. This is exactly why I hate y'all.
She said, I'm
doing all this shit for 46 a year. Yeah.
He said,
her exact words verbatim. She said, I'm not saving nobody for 46, nigga. But anyway, back to the psychology question. I asked that because to me, niggas just be needing niggas to talk to. Man, I ain't jacking that whole shit you just put out there talking about the little brother. Is the little brother? Did your brother play basketball? I don't even know. I'm asking you a question. Did Mike play basketball?
No.
All right. So I'll use another example. Ali Moe brothers before him played basketball. Her Sticks. Ali Moe is the best.
Yeah.
Stephon Marbury got three brothers ahead of him. Steph is the best. Eli Manning father is crazy. Then you got your brother Peyton Manning. Nigga, so I'm gonna give me two Super Bowls out of this, no matter what. I don't want to hear the little brother scenario. You're supposed to be better than everybody who come along before you, because you see where they fucked up at. Now you want to go to a sports psychologist. All that is that niggas don't got nobody to talk to that they trust. That's what that be about. And then niggas know how to feed off your emotions or what you're going through. I'm a psychologist every day for people. And consultation. I really need to charge people. I really do. I sit there, give advice. I hear their problems. I hear everything they got to go through. I'm sitting there like, damn, do I have a life of my own? I got to sit there and hear all the shit. Yeah, man. Because when the eviction notice was on the door, I was like, it gave me a flashback of when I was young. And now my kids is in there. You still going through that? Yo, listen, man. Yo, listen, bro. I'm tired of, I want my degree without going to school, because I help more niggas probably than the regular psychologist. I ain't jacking, even though it's your homeboy Mo and all that, and I know everybody needs somebody to talk to, or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, you can't talk to nobody you trust. Because listen, if I got a problem, I'm not going to see nobody. I could call Mace. Yo, Mace, what you think I need to do about this? Because Mace is smart. I call 2-3 niggas with the same IQ level as Mace and make an assessment. I don't need to go pay nobody. I'm not jacking sports psychologists. I'm just not.
If you go to be a counselor, you need a clipboard. You got a clipboard?
Nah, Murder. See, the thing about it is this. That's why I'm happy you back. Because I got to get you with the technology. You could just use your iPad now. They got iPad in church. I seen the church with the iPads in it, nigga. You talking about? I seen a few churches with the iPads in there. Yo, my nigga, you said, I don't even know. Like, you know what's crazy? A nigga was in my house the other day, Murder. Nigga said, yo, you got a pen? I said, for what? I signed my deals on the phone. Everything transfer the money. Nigga, I don't know the last time I need a pen. A pen, the contract is DocuSign. Signed easy. Niggas, I don't have a pen, homeboy. What do you want to write down? Somebody's phone number? What are you talking about? Put in your phone. You know what irks me too? Let me ask you this, Macy, and how old we are. When you call somebody, do you push one first still?
No.
Then the area code?
Yeah. Nigga put the one in the dash.
Yeah, because it's crazy. God bless the dad. My mother had an argument with my son. This was about 8-9 years ago. And she like, yo, would you tell him he gotta push one first to call out the number? I'm like, Mom, you ain't gotta do that no more. I said, nah, you just area code and it's out. Then she got mad at both of us, saw this thing get out. I just wanted to see if you knew not to push one no more. Then I'm going to be out to have a meeting, nigga.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, that did not go where I expected it to go. But Thanks for sharing that. All right, y'all. So we are going to go to break. And then when we return, we're going to talk about Tiger Woods' interesting golf preparation. Don't go anywhere.
She called this thing about us toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She tired of hearing, I don't know. What's stubborn in me won't fall. Oh, oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about
she wanna
us.
Be free.
Why am I in this woman?
She wanna be free.
Walk away. I wish somebody told me the rules. Disagreements let her win, and it's cool. Even when I'm right, this ain't about.
Welcome back. Now let's get into our underdog fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Celtics will play the Kings. Underdog fantasy has Sabonis at 4.5 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Higher.
Higher.
Jaylen Brown is at 3 assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Higher.
Hey, and Derek White is at 24.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Lower.
Lower too.
Okay. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. Okay, so we haven't talked about golf in a minute. Tiger Woods is abstaining from sex to remain laser focused for the Masters. His friend shared he's working really hard in the gym. He's eating right. He's even eliminated sex. What do you think about this preparation reveal and his friend letting the world know this information?
Yeah, I don't agree with it. And the reason I don't agree with it because yeah. Hey, I remember when I was locked up, right? And I remember when he came out with all that, he got caught with like the 19 girls, right? And before he got caught, he was playing amazing. And so this ain't really a popular thing to say, but it gives you like a superpower when you like function in that mold where you got 19 girls, you know, you have influence over them and they doing what you want to do. And you know, you just, you got like elite level confidence. And it ain't really popular to say, but I think like that's when he was playing his best, when he had elite level confidence and all of this, these extracurricular activities, right? And so I thought that that translated well. So I think since he's trying to revive his career, you know, he shouldn't exclude that. You know, that I think that was part of his confidence or part of the thing that made him special. But I just don't think it's a popular thing to say outside. So that's just my take on it.
So you think the 19 sneak-offs is the thing that made them play well?
Yeah, and I want to separate this because people will kill you on it. So I ain't advocating nothing against him and his wife.
Yeah.
And all the indiscretions and all that. But I've been in a place where you playing with multiple women, and I know how it personally feels. And you feel like you're a superhero and walking on clouds. You know what I'm saying? And I think that translates to everything you do. You know, it just, you know, it gives you a different swag. And I'm being dead serious about this. And I was saying to myself, but I think when he got caught and, you know, his whole little ring that got, you know, he got jammed up, he like, man, you know, this is how I was moving in the shadows. And I think that was part of him, his superpowers being gone. But it's something, it's something about being with multiple beautiful women that gives you a confidence that you probably can't produce anywhere else. That's just my take.
Okay, since you're talking player talk, it could be a code to bring the freaks out. You know, I'm telling that. You know, I'm definitely. It might be a code word to the 19. When y'all hear me say this, I'm back. You know,
you said he's running the route.
Yeah, that's why his man said it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he sent his man to say this to the public, so when people hear it, They like, oh, you're a tiger?
That's what we are.
Yeah, that's what we are. Where is this happening at? Stat, where is they playing this?
Yeah, let me check.
This match. Because that got a lot to do with it, too. It'll let me know how real I am. I ain't trying to mess up his news situation. I'm just saying this is stuff players do. They have codes, you know? It's player codes. Like, they use code cam. This is his code. This is his code right here. He said, yo, if I come on TV, if I'm ever in town and I tell you I'm not doing this, everybody know he's gonna be going, he's gonna roll hot tonight.
That's the best signal.
It's yeah. In Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, see. Close to me. pop out.
He took the line to Atlanta.
Yeah, that's pop out. That's all I can say.
My take on it is this. Is that we're not in the circles that Tiger Woods is in. We're not, you know, we're not going to bump into a nigga and say, oh, I just seen Tiger. Like, we're not in none of Tiger Woods' circles. So for me, this must be going on in the circles that he's in, that he's a rumored sex fiend and yeah. He can't stop. And that's what's circulating around Augusta, Florida, wherever he resides at. You know Tiger can't stop fucking. And that's why he hasn't been winning. So they had to put that out there publicly where people like us that are not in his circle be like, why did he even say that?
Yeah.
Because them little motherfucking circles that them golfers is in and them little towns that Tiger be in, he's a sex maniac. And he hasn't been winning since he became a sex maniac. And now that needs to be thrown out there for the public. He even stopped sex, y'all. Because he don't want to deny it. It ain't like he ain't saying he not. That's what I take. We just out the loop and we just catching up.
So that means, according to Cam, that means Tiger's coming to play this weekend. That's basically what he's saying. I'm coming to play this weekend.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, this is not a good thing to say because if you win, sex been the problem. So now you win. Yo, we can't fuck, boo. What? The jinx is in. Your pussy's bad. It's poison. It's stale. I can't win like this. You got to stay. Don't. This is the worst time for him to win, making that announcement. Because when you lose, you're going to be like Tiger. You was fucking, wasn't you?
Yeah, either way, it goes bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out Tiger Woods.
He can't be flued out. He can't be flued out no more, Maurice.
Yo, Mason.
Yeah.
You think, I was thinking about this before we go next time. I know Stabby about going next time. You think we had asbestos in our buildings when we grew up? We was like breathing that shit.
We definitely had asbestos in our buildings.
Yeah, I think all of us from our neighborhood, we super like up niggas, but it's something wrong with all of us. Think about niggas we grew up with. I think we was breathing asbestos for mad years. Because we was in a real tenement. We wasn't in a renovated, yo. Then all of a sudden when niggas get 15, 16 years old, they start finding asbestos.
Yeah.
Evacuate. I think we might have been breathing that shit. I'm smoking, so I've been thinking about it. But
yeah,
we
might everybody have been breathing had this. Pause. Everybody had the side effects.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. That shit may be long, might be long term, yo.
Yeah.
My bad, Stab. We good. We from the Nino Brown tenements.
Yeah, the governor got to shoot us some bread. Governor, if you're listening to this, you got to shoot us some bread.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's hazard pay.
Yeah,
that's hazard pay. Like my nigga, it's definitely like you got to pay some hazard pay on asbestos. It's going. You know what's going to happen after this? It's going to be a lawyer that's going to make a commercial said, if you lived in New York City in a tenement during 1994 in 1997, call me. You may be subject to money. Yo, bro, we want our PC. I'm telling you that now.
And niggas would be mad, yo. How them niggas gonna kill off to get that money? Right there,
that's a fact.
Get a class action lawsuit.
I definitely.
Yo, I'm telling you, yo, Mo, I'm a real hot. I'm high, but I'm not bugging. Like, we was just at school, and then 1 week, out of nowhere, niggas had to evacuate schools for months because niggas talk about, yo, it's asbestos in here. We've been in here for years. Talking about, yo, it's in the buildings, it's in the schools, evacuate. Yo, why y'all making us rush out now? We've been in here for 10 joints.
Yeah.
It was a big deal, bro. And I'm like, yo. That shit might have some long-term effect. I feel good and we good and everything, but I'm like, yeah. Sometimes I'll be feeling like I'll be bugging, but then I'll be thinking, nah, I don't be bugging. Niggas be bugging. Yeah. So I wanted to ask Mace how you feel because we was breathing the same air pores at that time. Fucked up.
Yeah, they showed me a picture of asbestos. I said, that's the way the building always looks.
Yeah,
but... I didn't know the difference.
Yeah,
I didn't never know it.
That's a fact. That's a fact. The building was made of asbestos.
You ever see this? This is asbestos. I said that was in every building I was in.
We thought that was holding the building together. You know what I'm saying? I knew I wasn't bugging. That shit was a big deal, bro.
Yeah, that's why I never make a big deal about it. That's everywhere.
That's what I was saying. It was in my house. Yeah. I know it was in my house. Yeah,
that's in the school. Yeah. That's in my apartment.
Yeah, we go. It's everywhere you go. It was asbestos. My bad.
No, all good. All good. Okay, and then when talking about Jokic, and after this, we're probably going to wrap. Gilbert Arenas said he is the worst MVP in the past 30 years. He said Jokic is probably statistically, when it comes to overall game, the worst MVP winner. He's the worst MVP winner in the last 40 years. He said in 2021, Jokic's team was fifth. He averaged 26, 8, and 10. What was the historic part of that? Is that a take that any of you guys agree with?
I don't know. I'll go to them first. I'll say a short part, but then I'll go to them. And it had to do with me asking, like, when you have these international stars and they come to the American game, like, are they criticized through the same lens that you criticize American players? And I don't know, you know, but I like Gilbert Arenas. I love his takes. He's super intelligent. As silly as he is and as funny as he is, he's a super, super intelligent and witty guy. But I don't know if y'all have a take, but it just made me question. I said, can these international guys come to the American market and be judged the same as, you know, just American players? Because on the when he was talking to Shannon Sharp about it, he was talking about anybody who played and was the MVP, their team was either one or two, and he didn't appreciate what dude's team not being one or two. So I'll let y'all take it from here.
No, that makes a lot of sense because what he's basically talking about is that 40 they finished with like 47 wins and he's basically thinking like that doesn't make sense for MVP especially, but I thought 27 and 10 would be MVP numbers, but without it being on a first or second team, it's not MVP according to tradition, because traditionally that's the way it's always been. So I could agree with that to some extent, but not that year he deserved to be MVP. And I don't know, is to some people they may say, well, you know, Gilbert just saying something for clickbait, but I think Gilbert is very bold and he's very accurate. But that's what some might say, you know.
Look, I get a lot of that was just short clipped. If you actually watch the whole clip, he had context behind what he was saying. He was saying when Russell Westbrook got MVP, the team might have been in seventh place or 10th place, but he averaged a triple-double, so it was special. Then he mentioned somebody else who had got MVP. I can't remember who it was. Michael Jordan. He said Michael Jordan's team was in fifth place or sixth place when he got MVP. But that year, he was Defensive Player of the Year, Steals Leader of the Year, All-Star MVP, League MVP, First Team All-NBA, so it made sense. He's like, everybody else who wins MVP usually is in first, second, and third place. And that was his argument. So I get, Mace, you hit the nail on the head, pause, because that's what I was going to say. Traditionally, because I have this argument all the time, traditionally, the person who gets MVP team got to be winning. Yeah. And now, because it's not the Joker, other players may have a problem with that. Like, yo, this nigga team ain't winning. He ain't in first, second, even though this year he is. How's he getting MVP? And they got a point, because if we're going off tradition, y'all usually don't give it to a team, a person whose team is not first, second, or third. Like, to me, it's crazy. It's much as a bigger lead that Boston has on the rest of the NBA, especially on the Eastern Conference, that nobody is mentioned in the top three candidates for MVP for Boston. Tatum, Jaylen Brown, not saying they have individual performances like somebody else, but being played as a team or being the leading scorer on the team with such cohesiveness has to be awarded too. Yeah. So that's my thing. It's like, how Jason Tatum not in the top three for MVP candidates when his team is a mile ahead away from everybody? Oh, because they're such a good team that it doesn't matter that they shouldn't have an MVP candidate. And I don't think that's right either. So I think last thing I'll say is agreeing with Mason. I get where Gilbert's coming from, but I still do think Joker deserves the MVP. Go ahead, Mom.
I was going to ask you this. Like, do you think that's this made me think about, you know, when they were talking about Ja Morant can be the face of the league and these other young guys aren't the faces. Do you think this is like the NBA saying, let's make him the face if LeBron is gone and we don't really have KD, we don't really have Steph, and let us advertise and promote and push something else just because we don't have the next coming thing? You know, could that play a role in it?
That definitely could play a role. And to Cam's point, what he said earlier is that when Russell Westbrook won it, he had a triple-double. But that year that Gilbert is talking about, he was right there with a triple-double. It wasn't actually 26-10. It was more like 26-11-8. So if you add the 8 assists, they're on to the 11 rebounds and the 26 points. That's pretty close to a triple-double. So he was almost close to averaging a triple-double.
And then...
make a long story short. Sorry, just wrapping up. I see where Gil was coming from, but joke is nice, bro.
Yeah. Comes with the bully effect. Pause. So it's like, that's why he's the MVP, because he does what he wants. And pause. MVP is going to do whatever they want. That's what all MVPs had in common. They were able to do whatever they want whenever they wanted to do it. And if we're judging by that, he's definitely MVP, because nobody stops him from doing whatever he wants to do on the floor.
Okay. And then before we wrap, because the Final Four is this weekend, we won't be able to discuss till after, I got to get y'all's picks. So starting with the men's, NC State versus Purdue, who do you guys have?
Oh, I'm going.
Go ahead, Mo.
I actually think Purdue's going to beat NC State.
Okay, thank you, Mo. Thank you, Mo. I'm going with Zach. Purdue.
Yeah, I'm going with Purdue too.
Okay. Alabama versus UConn. Who do y'all got?
Come on, Stat.
I gotta ask.
Hey, come on. UConn.
Okay.
UConn. I gotta go with UConn.
UConn as well.
Okay. And then for the women's, NC State versus South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Don Staley gets it done.
South Carolina too, man. excited. This make me more happy, baby, talking about the women's, yo. Because this is, yo, I'm really upset I'm gonna miss this murder. You gotta go there and act crazy. This game later on tonight is gonna be wild, baby. Wow. White America will be in the building, man. They will, man. White America's gonna be in the building because
I might wear my Caitlin Clark jersey. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, listen, what you gotta think about is this. As much as white people love other white people, it has not really been a superstar basketball player since Larry Bird that was purely white American. I'm talking about on that level. Caitlin Clark is like Larry Bird, and I know that's a way back for a lot of these young people, but this is my point. You don't even know what it's like to have an American white superstar from America. Y'all niggas would go crazy. It's almost, you know, when y'all got Eminem, that type shit. Yeah. Crazy. You know,
she's from Middle America.
Yo, this is like Eminem versus Eminem, though. Paige is not Haley. Paige is definitely not going out like Haley.
But this what I'm saying. This what makes this game so great, because she was hurt. She may feel like, if I ain't get hurt, y'all might not even be talking about Caitlin.
Yeah.
You nigga, if I ain't get fucked up, y'all know what time it is. Look, Coach Gino already, that's why I really want to see it, because Gino done stirred the pot. This little girl from Iowa is evil, bro. You can see it in her face, bro.
Yeah.
That girl is evil. She got a problem, man.
Yeah.
And I like it. Yeah, I like that attitude. It bothers her. Like, yeah. You see it, and you know, I like Paige too. Paige is more friendly, more upbeat, you know. Paige is like Oscar De La Hoya when he's the Golden Boy, smiling all the time. And it's great, man. I just want to uplift everybody. Caitlin Clark is all business, man. Yeah. She's all business. And I'm not saying that's going to reflect on the game or anything, but going back to the pick, I'm going with Iowa, man, to further notice. Sorry,
you go. Me too. I'm going with Eminem.
And then Maurice, you're staying loyal.
Hey, listen to me. Well,
yeah, he got flued out.
You better say UConn, nigga.
Okay. Well, the picks are in. We'll see who is correct after this weekend concludes. Maurice, thank you for being here. Safe travels. But that is all the time we have for today.
Suicide. Big necks, like when they doing them 2 for 5.